give thanks with a grateful heart. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise. We give you our honesty. Sometimes it's not so easy to give you thanks and praise. Help us, O God, in those tough times. Help us to remember that you promise to never forsake us, that you called us by name, that you have called us beloved. Bless us, O God, as we bring the meditations that are on our hearts, and remind us of the choices we have in the words that we speak. Bless us, O God, as we offer ourselves as your blessing to the world we touch. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we find ourselves in the Gospel of John. John, a passionate gospel writer, very clear that the parousia, the return of Jesus, is going to come really soon. He wrote his gospel about 25 years after the destruction of the Second Temple, which was sure proof that the world was going to end. So you better get ready. The world has been going to end now for about 2,000 years. And sometimes it feels like our world is ending. Have you ever been in that place? The scripture today highlights a man who longed for healing, or so it seems. We find him at the pool of Bethesda, a pool where, when the waters got stirred up, if you were the first one in, healing could happen to you. Jesus came to this pool of Bethesda, and he saw this man laying on a mat who had been in his condition for how many years? 38 years. And what was Jesus' question to him?
Do you want to be healed?
Do you want to be healed? Now, I don't know about you, but I might be tempted to get a little fresh at that moment. Well, what do you expect? Of course I want to be healed. What are you thinking? Right? I mean, do you know what it takes for me to get here? Jesus sits, maybe patiently, maybe a little annoyed, because this is what he says. Oh, sir, I have no one to help me get in the pool when the waters are stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Oh, sir, I would really like to get off drugs, but I just can't do it. I just need them. They help me feel better. Oh, sir, I'd really like to go to school, but I just don't have the money. Oh, sir, I'd really like to lose weight, except that French fries are just a part of my daily diet. Some of that was about me, some of that wasn't. I'll let you figure that part out. I don't think this story is just about this man who's been an invalid for 38 years. This is a metaphor for us to do introspection in our own lives around our own challenges and our own reasons for not finding a way into the pool. I didn't calculate how many days 38 years equals. I'm sure there's some math person in here who could do that. But it's a lot of days, right? Yes. Now, if he's an invalid, somebody had to get him there. Hello. Don't you think he could have said, hey, can you hang out for just a few more minutes? God's about to do a miracle and you'll be off the hook. You won't have to bring me here anymore. You know, most people would be saying, you got it, I'm with you. I'm wondering why he had not found a way to get in the pool when he could find a way to get to the pool. You know, sometimes we just get in a habit of doing whatever it is we're doing we know isn't good for us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I mean, this is a part of our human condition. I know I'm plagued by it. This last week I laid tile and I opened up a whole new world of muscles I forgot I had. In fact, I might not have even known I had, because I don't have a practice of moving my body in those ways. Yet I'd like to, but I'm too busy. I don't have the money to join a gym. I just don't have the time. I could do it next month. Is this just my world, or is this resonating with anybody in the room?
Yeah.
It might not be around exercise or going to the gym. It might be around some other aspect of your lives. But I do believe the scripture invites us to do some introspection on why we choose what we choose. One of the great current 21st century prophets for me is Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch wrote the last lecture. He was a professor at the University of Carnegie Mellon University. And at that university, and maybe this happens at other universities, they have a lecture series through the year. And there is a professor that is invited to give the last lecture of the school year. He had already been invited to do this when he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, given just a few months to live. Did anybody see him on Oprah? This was a few years back, right before Oprah ended her 25-year series. He looked fit. He was fit. But he had this disease that was going to change all of that. His wife asked him not to do the lecture, but he realized that the lecture would be more about the legacy he could leave his children in all of the ways in which he fulfilled his childhood dreams, and that it had not nearly as much to do with the people who were going to be in the room as it did for the end result of that lecture. So he surveyed his life, and he wrote a book about his childhood dreams and how he lived into them. And it certainly is an opportunity for us to do some introspection on our dreams and whether or not we are living into them. The 39th chapter is titled, Be the First Penguin. He writes, experience is what you get when you didn't get what you want. Hello. He says, that's an expression I learned when I took a sabbatical at Electronics Arts, the video game maker. It just stuck with me, and I've ended up repeating it again and again to myself and my students. It's a phrase worth considering at every brick wall we encounter and at every disappointment. It's also a reminder that failure is not just acceptable, it is often essential. And what do we do with failure? What do you do with failure? Really? You don't beat yourself up and invite anybody else who wants to normalize how bad you feel about the mistakes you made? Come on. I mean, if you sit down and you write all the things you're good at and all the things you're not, which list comes to you easier?
Not.
Which list is oftentimes longer?
Not.
He says, when I taught Building Virtual Worlds course, I encourage students to attempt hard things and not to worry about failing. I wanted to reward that way of thinking. So at the end of each semester, I presented the team of students with a stuffed animal, a penguin. It was called the First Penguin Award, and it went to the team that took the biggest gamble in trying a new idea or technology while failing to achieve their stated goal. What would happen for us if we actually rewarded failed attempts to do something new and great? I'll let you ponder that, and then we'll come back to it. The title of the award came from the notion that when penguins are about to jump into the water that might contain predators, well, somebody's got to go first. So it became known as the First Penguin. I originally called it the Best Failure Award, but failure has so many negative connotations that students couldn't get past the word itself. Can I get a witness? Over the years, I also made a point of telling my students that in the entertainment industry, there are countless failed products. It's not like building a house where every house built can be lived in by someone. A video game can be created and never make it through research and development. Or else it comes out and no one plays it. Yes, video game creators who've had success are greatly valued. But those who have had failures are valued too, sometimes even more so. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. And experience is often the most valuable thing you have to offer. I wonder when this man got his healing, because Jesus looked at him and said, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once, the man was cured, picked up his mat, and walked. I'm wondering what his story was. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you want. And now, after 38 years, he didn't even have to go into the pool because he wanted his healing, and he got up and he walked. And I'm wondering what we need to get up and walk. As a church, we've been doing church now for how many years? Over 40. I think we're 43. It is time, my friends, for us to be healed, to stop doing church the way we've always done it, and step out and do something new, something different, something risky, something that might fail. What will we do if we fail? What will we do with our failure? How will we have coffee hour with our failure? What will we talk about at the lunch table with our failure? Will it be our guide or will it be our critique? What are we called to do that is too risky to try? We are sitting at the pool of Bethesda, longing for new life, longing for healing. And as long as we do it the way we've always done it, guess what we're going to get? The same result. We've hit brick walls. How many of you have been here when we've hit a brick wall? Uh-huh. And what do? No, we ought to just get some sledgehammers and really have at it. And and tear that brick wall down so we can move to the other side of it, not fold our hands across our chest and say, I'm done with this. I think about Christianity, the first Christian church, the movement of Jesus as he walked from city to city proclaiming the good news of God's unconditional love, and how many failed experiences he had in the process. And what did he do? He moved forward. He kept teaching. He kept healing. He kept opening up the world that he touched. That's our charge. That's our calling, opening up the world that we touch, knowing we're going to miss the mark. Hello. Are we ready to do something new and different? Or are we comfortable with what we know? This man was comfortable with what he knew for a really... How many of you are at least 38? So you know how long 38 years is. It's a long time. I'm just wondering, are we ready to step in to something new? Are we so comfortable with what we know, that even though it's painful and difficult and challenging at times, we're willing to stay there because we know it? Are you with me? Are you willing to take a risk? I have no idea what that means. I just know that we've got something here that our friends want, depending on which part of the story we share with them. Because, you know, we could share the failure parts of the story, and our friends don't want to be a part of that. Or we can say, we're stepping out in holy boldness. And even if we fail together, and we try again, and we do it again and again and again, and we value what we have learned and the experience that continues to shape and fashion and form us. I can tell you this, the world beyond us is dying to know what lives in us. Will you join me as we find new ways to pass that on to the world we touch? Prepare for failure as we work towards success. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this day, for the challenges that have gone before us, for the failed attempts of trying something new, for the experience that we have gathered along the way. Bless us, O God, as we continue to reinvent this thing we call church. Help us to see beyond what blinds us by what we've always done, and open us up to something we've never done, filled with risk and challenge, wrapped in possibility and blessed by you. In Christ's name.